And now Springbok Radio invites you to lean back, put your feet up, and spend the next half hour with the Bowler, Briefcase, and Brolly Brigade.
The bed for the finished.
Whitehall is where decisions of national, even international importance are made every day. Let's take a look into one of the offices there and see how the experts go about replanning the entire economic structure of a nation.
This is a disaster, Mildred. How are we going to answer to the Chancellor of the Exchequer for this?
Oh, you do look all of a come over. What's the matter, Mr. Lamb?
Mildred, the petty cash is down by 75 pence.
Here, let me have the butchers. Aye, but see here, Mr. Lamb. Mr. Lennox Brown has put a chit in for reboring the holes in his thingy.
What's that? Let's have a look. To re-boring air vents in bowler hat, 60 pence. Yes, but it still leaves an outstanding balance of 15 pence, doesn't it?
Yes, well, according to this note here, he's transferred that to the umbrella maintenance account, so you've nothing more to worry about.
Mildred, number one is a genius. He always steps in at the last minute to save us. You know, his grasp of things never ceases to amaze me.
Ah, good morning, number two. Morning, Mildred. Ah, yes, a cup of tea. Splendid. Oh, lovely.
Wait a minute, number one. That's my cup of tea.
Like you said, Mr. Lamb, he's got an amazing grasp of things, particularly when it comes to grasping the handle of a teacup.
Oh, come along now, number two. We've got work to do.
Have we? Can't we put off till tomorrow everything we've already put off until today?
Oh, really? Look, you know that we can't. The Ministry of Defense wanted this survey 4 weeks ago. They won't swallow the same excuse again.
Why not?
Well, Whitehall could scarcely get cut off by snowdrifts 2 months running, could they?
Couldn't it?
No. There's pressure in the middle of summer.
It's a survey of our naval strength, isn't it?
That's right, Mildred.
Well, why is it taking so long? You've only got to write down the names of 3 ships. I mean, that's all we've got left.
Oh, look, actually, it's not as easy as all that, Mildred. You see, no one in the ministry can remember what the ships were called.
Oh. Yes, and then there's our nuclear submarine. No one's seen that for a year.
It's all right.
No, it's all right, Mildred. It's just that we don't know where it is.
That's right. They accidentally sent it the code word to submerge last June. And they've forgotten the code word to bring it up again.
And as they've been up supplies for 2 years, we may not see it for a bit.
But isn't the Navy Minister worried?
Well, I imagine so. He was on deck when she submerged.
Still, we must get this survey completed, number two, or the permanent undersecretary will be very cross again.
I hear that Sir Gregory's always getting uptight these days.
Odd that. You'd think he'd have sobered up during the night. Well, of course, he's at a funny age, you know. Good morning, Sir Funny. Sir Gregory.
Now, good morning, Sir Gregory. How nice to see you on this very, very fine morning.
What I want to know is how you're getting along with that naval survey.
Well, We've made a good start, Sir Gregory.
Start? What sort of good start?
I've sharpened the pencils already.
Again, Sir Gregory?
Get on with it, or else I'll have your ears for X-rays.
Well, that looks like it, number two.
Like what?
Like it's about time that you got on with it. Well, what's the matter with you, number two? You've been biting your nails and staring out of the window for over an hour now.
Well, it's this survey of naval defenses.
So? What's holding you up?
I can't spell defenses.
Good grief. Oh, dear, Erna, you can't spell defenses.
That's right. Well, how do you spell it?
Well, look, can't you write it down without spelling it?
You don't care, do you? It's always the same. I get landed with the work while you get ready to sneak off to your club.
That is not fair, number two. I've no intention of sneaking off to my club. Well, certainly not for another 5 minutes or so.
Yeah, and I've just had another memo from the Ministry of Defense. What shall I do about it?
Well, do what we always do when we're not sure about a memo. Stuff it behind the radiator.
But it says for urgent action.
Then stuff it behind the radiator quickly.
Well, I'm not sure that we should. Sir Gregory's been quite niggly lately about these defense jobs.
Oh, dear, what a fuss you make. Look, give it to me, then it'll be more about those wretched ships, I suppose.
Well, here you are, number one.
Thank you. What does it say here? For urgent action, prepare schedule for visit of Princess to Portsmouth Dockyard on the 20th and submit at once.
So what's it all about?
What do you think it's about? The ship's coming into Portsmouth Dockyard. She's obviously due for a refit.
Oh, I see. Yes. Yeah, well, I suppose she'll be taking part in that big naval exercise.
All you have to do is to find our copy of the naval manual and, I think it's propping up Mildred's desk over there.
Yes, here it is.
All the details on refits, just like servicing a car, really. Look, copy it out and send a schedule to the Ministry of Defense, will you?
We're going there with this survey. Perhaps we could deliver it in person. That would impress them, wouldn't it?
Well, it might, I suppose. Although you can never be so sure with these naval types. They're a funny bunch.
Yes, this is Vice Admiral Snevisuade. Yep, yes, I'll be with you as soon as I possibly can. I'm just waiting for a couple of ministry men. You see, they're to advise us on the right procedure for Princess Catherine's visit to Portsmouth. Yep, yes. I thought we'd better get the protocol right. She's a very important lady. That's right. She'll be reviewing the naval exercise, yes. Oh, there's someone outside now. I'll be with you shortly. Cheers. Come in.
Admiral Snevisuade?
Vice Admiral Snevisuade, yes. Who are you?
Well, my name is Alex Brown, and this is my junior colleague, Mr. Richard Lamb.
All right, sit down then, gents.
Thank you very much, your flagship.
Now then, you got my memo about this Portsmouth visit, did you?
Yes, indeed, sir, yes. And we've drawn up a full and detailed timetable for the princess.
Oh, splendid. Now, what's the first move when she gets there?
Well, obviously, she'll be tied up.
Hey, tied up?
Yes, but when you're ready, you can winch her into a convenient position and then get to work on her.
I don't see...
No, it's a normal procedure, actually, in preparation for stripping her down.
Stripping her down?
Yes, but the question is, has she been handled by Portsmouth dockers before?
Princess?
Well, they may already be familiar with her, in which case it's best to let them get on with it.
As long as they remember to spray her bottom with antifouling.
And, of course, also to hose down her superstructure.
Spray her bottom? Hose down her superstructure?
And once she's stripped, you'd better let the sailors have a look at her. They'll know exactly what they want.
How dare you, sir? How dare you?
Have I said something out of turn?
You're talking about the princess as if she was some sort of tramp.
No. We know she's not a tramp. She's fighting class, isn't she?
My colleague said destroyer, but I said frigate.
Did you come here to be deliberately offensive?
I say, number one, look, his eyes are bulging just like Sir Gregory's.
The princess is a member of one of Europe's oldest royal households.
A member of...
Oh, glory.
Do you mean that she's a lady? A female woman of the opposite sex?
Get out, both of you.
All right, Vice Admiral, we're going. There's no need to push.
Get out before I have you, Captain Irons.
Well, if you've anything to do with them, I'll bet they're rusty irons.
It was just a tiny mistake, Mildred.
Was it, Mr. Lamb?
Yes, of course it was. I mean, how are we to know that the princess wasn't actually the HMS Princess?
Ooh, and I'll bet Sir Gregory's hopping mad. He's so temperamental these days.
Yes, 90% temper and 10% mental. Mr. Lennox Brown's been summoned to see him.
Oh, things are going from bad to worse, you know, especially in this office.
Hmm? How do you mean, Mildred?
Well, there's an awful drip in the outer office.
Oh, do you mean old Creepy Crawly?
No, I mean there's a damp patch in the ceiling. It's dripping onto my desk. It's getting so bad that this morning I've drunk the same cup of tea 3 times.
Oh, dear. Well, I suppose there must be a fracture in the water tank up above.
You're blimey right, Mr. Lamb. But what are we going to do about it?
Well, you'd better borrow my umbrella.
Thanks, Mr. Lamb. But I reckon we ought to put a plastic sheet under the tank.
A plastic sheet?
Aye.
Well, actually, that's a good idea. Yes, I think there's one in old Fatty Scott's office, actually.
Mr. Scott's office?
Yeah, that's right.
Mr. Scott.
Mm. It was wrapped around his garden gnome when he bought it for his window box. I'll go and see if it's still there.
Oh, well, I'll come with you then. And if he's got rid of it, there's sure to be some waterproof stuff in the typing pool.
Right. But I suppose if we're both going, we'd better leave a note on Mr. Lennox Brown's desk or he'll wonder where we are.
Yes, well, here's a pencil, Mr. Lamb.
Thank you. All right, now then. Have had to dash out on important business. We have plans for plastic underwater tank. Right, that should do it, Mildred. The sooner we sort this out, the better.
I'm sorry that you're displeased that we upset the Vice Admiral, Sir Gregory, but I don't see why you have to come and inspect our office.
I am seeking the slightest evidence that you've done any work at all on those defense jobs.
Well, if you wish, Sir Gregory.
I certainly do.
Oh.
Looks as if nothing useful's been done in this room since the builders left it. Dartboard on the wall, plimsolls on the radiator, water lilies in the fire bucket.
Sir Gregory, if we surround ourselves with beautiful things, it's in order that we should work more efficiently.
Work? You don't know the meaning of the word. You were asked to research new naval weapons, and where are the results, eh? What have you got to show for it?
Well, it may not be readily apparent, Sir Gregory, but we have papers and documents in various places.
What's this paper on your desk, then, eh?
Paper, Sir Gregory?
Yes.
On my desk?
I've had to dash out an important business. We have plans for plastic underwater tank. Good grief. A plastic underwater tank. Can this be true, Lennox Brown?
Yeah. Well, I'm sure it can. Yes, we have all sorts of schemes in hand, I think.
Well, this puts a different complexion on things. I may have misjudged you.
Well, we forgive you, Sir Gregory.
A military tank that can function underwater? Plastic, so it won't rust. Oh, this is a major breakthrough.
Major breakthrough. Yes, yes, of course.
Well done, Lennox Brown. Well done indeed.
Thank you very much, Sir Gregory.
Yes.
I'll tell my colleague you're not cross with us after all, and, well, we'll say no more about it.
Say no more about it? Are you joking? Man, we'll say a lot more about it. In fact, we must tell the Prime Minister and the Defence Chiefs at once.
Oh, must we?
The top brass will want to see this thing in action. By Jove, what a coup we could pull off if we show it during that naval exercise.
Ah, well, let's not be too hasty, Sir Gregory.
Of course we must be hasty. A bit of prestige for Britain at last. I'll go and set the wheels in motion. A plastic underwater tank, eh? Oh, a miracle. Well done, Lennox Brown. Well done indeed.
Yes, my word, we have done well. What on earth was the old fool talking about? General Assistance Department, Lennox Brown speaking.
Virginia.
Oh, hello, Sir Gregory.
I'm calling to tell you that I've done it.
Oh, is that wise at your age, Sir Gregory?
What are you talking about, man? I've arranged the Prime Minister and the NATO chief to attend next week's naval review. They all want to see this underwater tank in action.
Oh, the underwater tank. Yes.
Mrs. Thatcher is delighted, actually, that there were hints of some little honor.
Oh. Well, thank you very much, Sir Gregory. I'm very touched.
You certainly are. The honor's for me, you fool.
Oh.
Now, listen. We assemble on Monday at 10:00 aboard HMS Insufferable. You lay on the demonstration somewhere in the channel, and you'd better be with us to answer questions.
Sir Gregory, I've just been concerned with the broad policy. You see, my junior colleague knows more about the details.
Then get them from him by Monday. This is a big occasion, Lennox Brown. I don't want any slip-ups.
Well, I'll try, Sir Gregory, but I... Hello? Oh, dear, we seem to have been cut off again. Oh, dear.
Oh, hello, number one. Sorry I've been so long, but Fatty Scott had lost his wrapper, so we borrowed a plastic sheet from the Welsh office, but it turned out there was a leak in it. So in the end, we got one from next door.
What on earth are you talking about, number two?
Well, we've had to put a plastic sheet under the upstairs water tank. I told you all about it in my note.
You mean this note?
Mm-hmm.
A plastic sheet under the water tank?
Is that right? But, are you feeling all right, number one?
You mean there isn't a secret weapon? No plastic tank that goes underwater?
Number one, your glasses have all misted it out.
Good grief. Number two, you've done it again.
What?
Thanks to your note, Sir Gregory's got half the top brass in Europe turning up to see an underwater tank. And he's fixed a demonstration for Monday.
Well, don't get excited. We can cancel it.
But it's too late. Sir Gregory would tear us apart. He's told the Prime Minister this is the weapon of the future, and he can't admit that he's wrong.
Oh. Well, perhaps we needn't put it in the water.
Don't be daft, number two. There isn't one to put in the water or anywhere else. Mm. Look, we'll be exposed. We'll be shown up. We'll be sacked.
Oh, dear. What are we going to do then? I mean, we haven't got...
Whatever we do, which is no good nadgering, number two. We've got to think. Well, I've got to think. Oh. Look, we'll have to pretend, that's all. That's what we'll do. We'll just pretend. Tell me, you're having swimming lessons at the moment, aren't you?
That's right, yes.
How are they going?
Well, my teacher says I amaze him.
Right. Well, borrow a frogman's suit and find out how to use it, and you'll be coming with me to Portsmouth on Monday.
Coming up to 12, sir.
Oh, the demonstration is due to start, Pitkin.
That's right, my several. One of my minions has made the arrangements, actually. He's somewhere on the foredeck.
Ah, I see several NATO chicks over there. There, on the port.
Yes, I see them. Oh, they can have the port. I'm sticking to brandy myself.
Very wise, yes. Well, we're all delighted about this secret weapon. Could put the Navy on very firm ground, it could, yes.
Not with you around, actually.
Ladies and gentlemen, your attention, please. From the General Assistance Department, Mr. Lennox Brown, who will conduct the demonstration.
That's the chap now, Vice Admiral. The demonstration must be about to proceed.
Splendid, splendid.
Ladies and gentlemen, the underwater tank is now approaching this ship. May I ask you, please, to all move to the port side rail. Quickly. Now, the underwater tank is about to pass beneath the ship.
Pass beneath the ship, I don't see anything.
Nor do I.
Exactly. You can't see anything. You can't hear anything. This tank has been so designed that the enemy cannot detect it. Being made of soundproof plastic, the tank can strike at the heart of an enemy's fleet without warning. It's passing under the very hull of this very ship at this very moment.
But I'm very impressed.
And now, may I ask you all please to move swiftly to the starboard rail. And there she goes, still under the surface, streamlined and silent, leaving no wake.
Amazing.
It's incredible. In fact, so incredible, I think this calls for another brandy.
Be excusing me, please.
Why? What have you done?
No, I'm wanting to be asking a question, please.
Yes, certainly, General.
But my question is being thusly. If we cannot be seeing this thing, and we cannot be hearing this thing, then how can we knowing that this thing is really being there at all in the first place?
Yes, that's a very good question. That's a very good question, yes.
Thank you very much.
I wondered who was going to spot that. Well done, General. Now then, are there any other questions?
Just a minute, the fellow's right. How do we know the tank is down
there? Demonstrate its presence. The tank will now release a buoy, which will float to the surface at noon precisely, or for our foreign friends at roughly 12 o'clock.
But it is 12 o'clock now.
And there's the boy. There's the boy.
Hey, but look, that boy has your bowler hat tangled up with it.
A bowler hat? Oh, yes, yes. Yes, that's symbolic, you see. Symbolic. It symbolizes the ministry's close involvement in the project. All right, come along, number two. Give me your hand, and I'll pull you out. I've got your dry clothes right here.
Where have you been, number one? You said you'd rescue me as soon as you got ashore.
Well, there was a small party after the demonstration, and what? I couldn't leave too soon.
But the demonstration was yesterday.
Hmm? Well, you know how these things run on. It's a pleasant occasion, actually.
No, it's all right, isn't it? And there I am.
Would you mind? Please stop muttering, number two. The thing is, we got away with it.
But it can't go on, can it? They'll want to see the tank on dry land.
That's what we have to avoid. And while you've been larking about in the sea, I've been making plans.
And here is the news read by Mortimer Thrip. Britain's amazing new underwater tank continues its goodwill tour, visiting all the world's major ports without even breaking the surface. In New York Harbor, thousands gathered to watch the tank enter and leave unseen. United States leaders have called the tank an impressive achievement, but say they have an even bigger one. The Japanese have praised the tank, but say they have an even smaller one. This could be mass-produced more cheaply in imitation plastic-style plastic. Russian service chiefs say the British device is not as imperceptible as their underwater tank. They had invented this years ago as part of their march to peace. And now some late news. The Prime Minister has stated that this major British development is something of which we can all feel justly proud. And in accordance with government policy in these matters, it would now be scrapped. The leader of the opposition commented, "Tanks for nothing."
So that's the story, eh, Mr. Lennox Brown? Ooh, I'm surprised you got away with it.
But we did, Mildred, and that's all that matters.
Yes, it's all sorted out. And I got rid of that plastic sheet from under the water tank, like it said in the memo.
Memo? What memo?
Well, the one from the Prime Minister. It said, scrap plastic under water tank.
Number two, he meant scrap the secret weapon.
That plastic sheet's all that was holding that water tank together. The whole place will be drenched.
Yes, and you're right, Mildred. There's water coming under the door. My shoes are soaked.
It must have
built up in the corridor. Don't anybody open that door.
No.
Oh, good heavens.
Attention, the building is flooded. Man the lifeboat.
But there aren't any lifeboats.
Evacuate the building, then. Women, children, and me first.
Getting tanked up was the men for the military tonight with John Simpson and Roger Service. Swimming along behind, Maureen Adair, Tommy Reed, Tom Meehan and Brian Squires.
Tonight's script was written by Edward Taylor and John Graham and produced by Brian Squires. Join the whole mad bunch at the same time next week for another romp down the corridors of power with the men from the ministry.